Parents in the Kent School District packed a school board meeting last night. They say their children's classrooms are not safe. And we're not talking, you know, because of hazardous materials or asbestos or anything like that. It's the kids who are making it unsafe.
We need better training, better support for staff.
Beth Stoughton, new kindergarten at Fairwood Elementary, would be an adjustment for her twins, Gabe.
This is Channel 5's Drew Mickelson.
Gabe and Audrey.
Pulling apart and ripping other children's work, going through other children's belongings.
But she wasn't prepared for the classroom clearing outbursts she keeps hearing about.
Some of the classrooms are now having a safe word where if the teacher says, this code word to the classroom, then the classroom will leave and go to one of the neighboring classes.
He said it's happened, you know, maybe monthly in his class. He said other classrooms it happens weekly, other classrooms it happens daily.
Can you believe what you're hearing here? That in some classes every day and in other classes every week, even once a month, the class has to clear out because there's out of control behavior in the classroom? Can you fathom that? Everyone has to leave. So-and-so's going nuts. So-and-so's having a tantrum. So-and-so's throwing a desk. What is going on here? Parents say that it's the insistence of the school district of mainstreaming kids who ought to be in special ed with the general population, if you will, of the kids in school. And when there's problems, it just completely ruins not only the learning atmosphere, but makes it dangerous, physically dangerous.
Mike Kelly has two children at Fairwood and fears for their safety and the quality of their education.
The learning environment is disrupted, and even the teachers' ability to achieve their curriculum goals is also disruptive. So
these parents and the teachers' union blame cutbacks in the inclusive education program at Kent schools. More than 300 parents and teachers have signed an online petition asking the school board to restore training for staff and requiring full-time counselors and behavioral specialists at every elementary school.
This is just ridiculous. We are talking about bureaucrats forcibly putting kids in classrooms where they know they will be disruptive. And now there's the school's usage of padded safety rooms for violent students.
They also want one of these, a so-called safety or timeout room, placed in every school. Right now, these are rarely used and only with a parent's permission, but they're used when a student is considered a danger to themselves or their classmates or the staff. And right now, Kent schools, there are about a third of them that have these.
When you have a large group of students in a large school district, those moments of discord are going to happen at every grade level.
They're talking rubber rooms in a third of the schools in Kent. Let's get to the phones real quickly. Stacy, nice to have you here on The Commute with Carlson this morning. Go for it.
I just wanted to weigh in on the school thing. I'm a special ed teacher, and I actually teach a self-contained class with students who are intellectually between the ages of 6 months and about 3 years.
Okay, can you?
And I've also worked with really severely emotional behavioral disturbed kids. These children who are in self-contained classes, in mainstream classes, a lot of times what happens is they end up completely monopolizing all the resources. I've been in meetings with 12 people that's based on one kid that is every single day causing these problems. So I he may not be exaggerating. I could totally see that happening. I teach children who are cognitively very, very low and don't always know what they're doing, but their behavior is extremely dangerous. I've been on workers' comp for weeks at a time. I've had staff members that have broken limbs, that have, you know, broken their wrists. And these safe rooms tend to be demonized a lot. But really, the alternative to that is to intervene physically. And we're not given the same skills that, like, a mental health, facility worker would be given or a police officer would be given. So I have, 18 of my kids and 4 staff members to protect and make sure they're safe. And so having a place where this child can also be safe is actually sort of the lesser of two evils. So
okay, now, there's a lot of people listening to you and me right now who are saying, you know what? We didn't used to have this when I went to school. What's going on?
Well, I think that there's certain environments that are appropriate for children and there's certain environments that aren't. And I think that the environments that are the most appropriate for children like this are so cost prohibitive and they're so hard to get into that, I mean, these places can cost $15,000 a month, you know, something astronomical like that. And they have waiting lists. And so the school district would have to pay for that if they were to recommend that. And I think that, you know, a longer time ago, there was more access to that kind of thing. And also the political climate was such that they weren't basically saying, okay, well, these kids have a right to be in a general ed class, whether or not that's actually the safest and most appropriate place for them.
Well, if they don't acclimate well to a mainstream environment, and if they're disruptive for all the other kids, it sounds to me like everyone's a loser.
Absolutely. It's really hard to be in a meeting where the teacher's saying, you know what, if I had a child, I would not want them in my class. And that's a really sad thing.
Think about that. A parent saying, if my own kid, I wouldn't want my own kid in my class.
It's just a really sad, it's just really sad and really scary to be encountering. I mean, I get bit just about every week. I get some sort of injury from these guys, and it's just...
How old are these kids that injure you sometimes?
I have kids between kindergarten and fifth grade, so I have the entire gamut in my class. And, you know, some of them know what they're doing when they're aggressive, and some of them don't. And, you know, we're not given a lot of... We don't really have a lot of legs to stand on when it comes to how to deal with them, aside from try to remove them. And that's usually the route we go because it's least likely to injure anybody.
What's the way? We have 30 seconds. What's the way home here, Stacey?
I just think that we need to be real about the sorts of environments that these kids need, and that they need to, you know, make these environments more accessible, and just help people understand that it's not just about this particular child; it's about the other 25 kids in that classroom that also have rights, and that tends to get, you know, that tends to get forgotten about.
All right. Kids like this 30 years ago, where would they have been?
I'm not, you know, very old, so I don't know from experience, but I would imagine that there used to be, you know, more institutionalized settings that these kids could go to, or more restrictive environments, and just the whole inclusion movement basically made that a political taboo to have a restrictive environment.
Well, let's hope the pendulum begins to swing the other way for the well-being of the rest of the kids and, frankly, the behaviorally disturbed children as well.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Stacey.
No problem.
Ah, boy, you really feel for the good people of Kent.